Blog Talk Radio.
An old Cherokee is teaching his grandson about life. He tells the grandson, "There's a fight going on inside me. And this is a terrible fight. You see, this fight is between two wolves. One wolf is evil. It is anger, envy, sorrow, full of regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, it lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. The other wolf, though, the other wolf is good. This wolf is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, full of humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. This same fight is going on inside you and inside every other person, too." The grandson thought about it for a second and looked up and asked his grandfather, "Well, which wolf wins?" The old Cherokee just simply replied, "It's the wolf you feed."
Lord, it's so hard living this life, a constant struggle each and every day. Some wonder why I'd rather die than to continue living this way. Many are blind and cannot find the truth, 'cause no one seems to really know. But I won't accept that this is how it's gonna be. Therefore, you got to let me and my people go, 'cause I wanna be free, completely free. Lord, won't you please come and save me?
Wake up, goddammit!
Afternoon or good morning. It all just depends on what part of the world you are listening. Bienvenidos, ¿qué tal? Okay, namaste, and welcome to another episode of the Greenhouse Effects Radio Show. My name is Will Green, holding down one half of our hosting duties live every Monday and Wednesday night on blogtalkradio.com/thegreenhouseFX. 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, holding down the other half of our hosting duties. We call him the Lions Historian. Some call him Unc. I just simply call him my best friend because he's my dad, Bill Green. What's happening, Daddy-O? Good evening. How you doing tonight?
Still too early to tell.
Yeah.
How you doing? except around midnight, then I know if I made it through live. Anyway, yeah. So, Same stuff, you know, different day, you know, or different stuff, different day. You know, I don't know. It's a challenging thing to try to take on the issues of the day, right? I mean, they can just pull me in any direction in any given moment if I don't back off. And you know what I've actually done in the last few days, since Friday, Thursday, I've really ignored the news. You know, I mean, I might just, you know, take a quick peek just to see if, you know, we're still here. But really, you know, man, I'm just kind of detoxing from the news for a while, you know. And that might change later tonight or tomorrow. But as it is, with no real concerted effort, it's just, you know, I have just needed to back off from the news. And I tell you, it's okay for me because of the nature of this show still requires me, you know, to look into the internet. Mm-hmm. and to see the signs of the time. So, you know, but just the talking heads, man, I don't know. It's just all of a sudden they just have gotten loud and intrusive, you know, and it's like, okay, you know, all right, I get it. I don't need to act like I don't, you know, and so let me just leave y'all to your ratings and trust my sanity to God, you know. So anyway, that's what's going on, man. Sorry to ramble, you know, but sometimes, you know, 1,000 words come in handy, even though I know 100 would have been more than sufficient.
Amen. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, it's good to hear that you're kind of detoxing. I think we all need to have those moments of detox.
I agree. Yeah.
You know, the news comes at us in so many different ways. It's not just at 10 o'clock anymore, you know, or 6 o'clock.
Right. Yeah, man, for real. You know, I mean, like, I would imagine that most tune in are old enough to be able to relate to what you just said. You know, it's not just a 6 o'clock, 10 o'clock tip anymore. You know, it's 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, just about, you know. And everybody's saying pretty much the same thing and really just offering their particular stance on the same thing, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like whatever, you know, like if I listen to like MSNBC, then all I have to do is think opposition and I get it. If I listen to Fox News, all I got to do is think opposition and I get it. You know, if I listen to CNN, all I got to do is, well, think. All right, let me stop. Go ahead, man. CNN sometimes really makes me try hard, you know. But anyway.
Put up with what they're displaying and talking about, or?
Just to think. To think it through. Like, okay, where are we heading with this? You know, and that's cool. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the way it should be. You know, let me give CNN some props, you know. I mean, it ain't just Don Lemon I listen to. I like Anderson Cooper, too, and, you know, a few of the others to pop in and out. You know, it's like, yeah, they do. They don't really make it clear. Even Don has kind of softened, I think, you know, that he's not as emboldened as he used to be. He kind of, you know, kind of eased up a little bit with, and not shoving his opinion down my throat. You know, it's like, let me give you tiny morsels to gnaw on for a little bit. You know, at least, you know, the few times I've checked him out. So anyway, man, let me step on the brake for a little bit. Give you a minute here to do your due diligence. You know?
Oh yeah. The due diligence, man, I'm already into the show.
It's the hypnotic quality of dialogue, man. It does.
Yes, sir. So, ladies and gentlemen, as you see, you know, Dad and I don't waste any time just, you know, getting into the show. But, you know, before we, you know, while we have a moment to catch our breath, as we do every live show Mondays and Wednesday nights, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, we like to just set out a few reminders. The first thing is always, hopefully you're already going to get them because most of y'all know what it is. Want to make sure you got a pen and pad, a pencil and paper, a post-it note, an envelope, or a back of a napkin. Sue asked me earlier today, she said, a napkin. Sue asked me the other earlier today, man, she wanted to use the back of an envelope. I'm like, yes, yes, please.
Yeah, yeah, baby. Absolutely. That's what we're talking about.
That's what we say. Yeah. No, but in all seriousness, we want to make sure.
That's what they're for.
It's good. It's good. It's solid. You know, you can hold it. Your hand won't bend too quick.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
Oh, man. I can already see what kind of show this is going to be tonight.
Right on, man. Right on.
No, but we want to make sure that you got something to write with. If there's any questions or comments, we want to make sure you don't forget them. Anything you might pick up from our discussion, anything you want to share with the audience, we want to make sure you don't forget it. There's a couple of ways that you can share or engage with us on the show. Again, live Mondays and Wednesdays. One way, you can call us directly. You've got that pen and paper handy by now, I'm sure. So you can call in directly. Our number here is 516-453-6094. Again, 516-453-6094. And just press 1 on your keypad, and that'll put your number in our queue. And we'll bring you on in. And in case you have any questions or comments, let us know what's on your mind. You know, we'll bring you in. Or maybe you... excuse me, feel more comfortable with engaging with us in the chat room, which you can do on the Blog Talk Radio site. Again, that's blogtalkradio.com/thegreenhouseeffects. That's FX. With your free Blog Talk Radio profile or account, you can talk with us directly in the chat room. I'm sure Primo's already in there. What's good, man? Good evening, Adam. Good to see you as always. And you can talk with us that way. And, of course, Facebook is open somewhere on my computer or my phone or somewhere, and you can ask us questions and talk with us through the event page as well. So thank you for reminding me, Dad, to share this little bit of information with the audience.
Hey, man. Right on, man.
Enjoying
you do it
talk.
So well, man. I mean, you got it down pat. I ain't lying, man. I love hearing you do it, man. I love hearing you do it. Yeah, so where are we? You know, first of all, let me start out by gripping. You know, I got a grip. I got so distracted by doing nothing that I didn't do anything. So I didn't do my homework, man. I didn't check out the book, The History of White People. And I did other things, but I had committed myself to checking out that book, you know, the one that was written by Neil Irving, Painter, you know. So I will recommit myself to do it between now and Wednesday, if necessary, but at least I need to, whether I talk about it or not on Wednesday's show. And also that handbook, you know, that I had mentioned in regards to that issue that went down at the school system in Charlottesville.
Yeah.
You know, where the young lady had felt she was forced to resign. And right now the title of the handbook eludes me.
It's Courageous Conversations About Race.
I got my you. Man, that's it. That's
Glenn Singleton.
Yeah.
Courageous Conversations About Race.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm talking about. So, you know, I want to make it a point to check out both of them. But I tell you, man, I have just kind of, it's not a malaise. I'm not into melancholy. I'm not sad or depressed or anything like that. I'm just zoning, man. I'm just zoning on calm and peace and reflection, you know, and man, you know, I just happen to be in this element that I've been in now for a little over a week, and I'll be here going on 2 weeks. Wow. And I'll be here for a few more days and just soaking up the calm, you know. And I tell you, if you or anybody who may be listening tonight doesn't know what I mean by calm, just try and experiment. Most of us watch television, right? Just, you know, like, and just using television as the medium of example. You know, when a commercial comes on, for whatever you're watching, if you're not watching, like, you know, an uninterrupted movie, when a commercial comes on, just hit the mute button. Just experience what it's like to separate from the noise, that sudden shift. You know, it's an amazing thing. It's like almost a mini meditation in itself, just to disconnect from the noise. You know, we're so used to noise that we've forgotten how to breathe. You know, I mean, we do the gift of God, and the autonomic nervous system does the breathing for us, but it's a very shallow breath. It's just enough to keep us alive, you know, but just to take that break from the distraction of noise and to engage the breath deeply, I tell you, you know, just for those 2-3 minutes, it's an amazing thing, man. So that's all. I'm just kind of in that mode right now. But I'm using that as my grip. I'm using that as my grip. My justification apology for not doing my homework.
That's okay if you don't mind. Me and my tribe, we have this saying where we have this phrase where we say we're putting the cables on you. And basically it's like power cables, like battery cables, charging you up. You know, some people, you know, in the negative term, they might say gaslighting, but that's, you know, anyway, putting the cables on you for a minute, because, you know, I love to hear about this, and I understand, you know, the opportunity you have right now, given, you know, where you are, the situation, et cetera. You know, and without getting into all that detail, I think, you know, if you didn't mind, if there's anything, you know, maybe you wanted to share even further in having this opportunity, you know. And, the problem with doing that,
yeah, I know where you're heading, but the problem with doing that is that's what I wind up talking about, you know, and just completely go off script, you know. And believe me, I got real close to hitting you up and saying, hey, man, would you mind if I just talk about, you know, the Saturday show, you know, and I'm really trying to not do that, you know, because I know that I'll get lost in the conversation, in the dialogue, you know, and I really do want to at least just wrap up, you know, as much as I can, you know, the history of white people in America, what we've been talking about, kinda, for the last week.
You know, kinda, How do you spell that?
K-I-N-D-A.
Okay.
One of my favorite words, you know, kinda, yeah. But anyway, this Saturday, and the date eludes me. Is that like the 30th or the 1st? I'm not sure. But this coming Saturday, we're going to start, for those of you who are listening and those of you who will continue to listen, we're going to start another segment of the Greenhouse Effect. We've done Dysfunctional by Design in the past. We've done Write Your Own Book Club in the past. And we're going to enter into a new venture coming this Saturday called Habits, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And at first, it's evolved to become Habits. At first, it was going to be and if anybody had tuned in last week, they would have heard me say it was going to be a 12-step program. Well, you know, we'll kind of yank my coattail. You kind of yank my coattail. Thank you, son, for doing that. It's like, well, you know, that's kind of, you know, exclusive. It's not really inclusive. And a lot of people would just immediately kind of just deflect from it. Like, hey, I'm not in the 12-step, you know, the 12-step movement. I'm not an addict or alcoholic. What happened for me was in my prayer circle last week, my dear nephew Ray made a commentary based on whatever we were talking about at the time. And he said, well, you know, we're all creatures of habit. And that's like not a term that's, you know, like shakes the clouds or anything. We're all familiar with the term. But not having heard it for a while, it did shake me at my boots. It's like, yeah, we are. And we are victims of our habits, too. And all too often we are labeled by our habits. You know, so we're going to start this new venture. It's just going to be from 10 to 11, y'all. And it's, you know, titled Habits, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And it's just going to look at all three of those in different forms through different topics. So I hope I cut that short enough, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
Looking forward
I didn't mind if it was going
to
be longer. I'm excited about it. You know, maybe you'll be able to share some of these habits, or if you will, that you're picking up right now while you have these moments of quiet time.
If you agree with the idea that we all are creatures of habit, you know, then the only question would be define habit, right? The things that we do consciously and unconsciously, you know, the things that we do every day consciously and unconsciously, things that sometimes have a pattern to them, you know, things that have such a pattern that we do it, you know, without much regard. You know, sometimes just going through a day to day, just going through a 24 hours is a habit. You know, we have a particular time we wake up, you know, particular time we wash our butt, you know, maybe for those who aren't as blessed as me to be in a state of retirement, particular time we have to arrive at work, you know, the message that we go by started during the course of the day. Like, you know, I don't know if you have a set time that you wake up, but a lot of people do. A lot of people, not trusting their own devices, have alarm clocks. I've never been able to deal with that. That's just such a startling way to wake up. You know, this thing. I've never been able to do that. You know, I don't know, Will. You know, what do you think? You know, you think you have any particular? If you thought about it, that you had any particular habits that. First of all, the ones that you don't even really think about?
Well, I was thinking about eating habits. Social media habits. Were the two that popped in my head. Immediately.
Now, somebody might say, what does he mean by eating habits? Well, you know, some people only eat certain things, like, you know, the morning hours, you know, from when you wake up to, let's say, noon or whatever, you know, like the idea of eating cabbage and sauteed sea bass might not appeal to somebody as it relates to breakfast food, you know.
And I'm thinking about my taste palate, my taste buds, you know,
So an eating habit right there. There's certain foods that I only eat during, you know, the morning hours. You know, that's mm-hmm. It gets to be a routine. It gets to be a habit. It gets to be unconscious, you know, like whatever it might be, right? Usually kind of, you know, confined to the idea of breakfast food as an example. What was one of the social media? A lot of us wake up, first thing we got to do is hit our phone, you know, our cell phone to see if, you know, to see what Facebook is talking about, see if I got any, you know, Facebook text messages or whatever, you know, like some of us wake up in the morning, the first thing we do is crack open scripture, you know, see what the word of the day is, or just, you know, maybe for some, you know, just picking back up where left off in reading scripture, you know, in whatever form that, you know, wow, I love that sound, whatever form that takes. So, you know, it's a matter of thinking, you know, giving oneself permission to think about the things I do day to day on a regular basis and ask myself, is it good? Is it bad? Is it ugly? You know, so that's what I'm thinking, you know, the format of Saturday will be. And it's just it may include things like, you know, a 12-step program. Not, you know, the rigorous demands that are made in regards to taking stock and inventory of one's behavior, but at the same time, taking a moment or two to reflect on where has my behavior got me today? And not today in a 24-hour format, but today over a stretch of time? Am I doing more of the things that I'd rather not do and less of the things that I really need to do? You know, and sometimes it's important to separate needs from wants. You know,
yeah.
I want to stay in bed. Do I need to stay in bed? You know, yeah. And then the opposite. I need to stay in bed whether I want to or not. You know, and the ugly, you know, that's always reserved for self-diagnosis. But that doesn't, you know, make people around me impervious to my behaviors. Just because I might keep the ugly to myself doesn't mean other people aren't getting smacked in the face by it. You know, and sometimes it's the ugly that I would laugh at that somebody else might go, ugh, about, and then somebody else may not even think about. You know, I think an ugly habit is someone who doesn't, you know, doesn't really pay any attention to, you know, their flatulence. You know, and don't even consider flatulence, meaning farting. And don't even bother about saying, oh, excuse me. You know, just, hey, you know, it's just a natural thing. They got a problem with it, too bad. You know.
He's just scooting along and just going about Okay.
I'm sorry, man. You know, I mean, you know, or belching. You know, some cultures, you know, a belch is a compliment. You know, and rightfully so, I guess. But, you know, I also think sometimes there's an element of timing involved in that. Like, I don't need you belching in my food, you know, while I'm trying to eat, you know. So, like what some may call ugly, some others may call relief. So the diet, I guess, is what I'm talking about, you know. You know, having the outlet of dialogue to say, well, I don't understand why you have an issue with that. And that's the whole point of dialogue, you know, for, you know, the two ends to meet, so to say. So,
yeah.
And to me, the value of acknowledging, recognizing, or owning habits is that it can prevent a lot of future trouble, you know. Like, I'll give you an example, tobacco habit. You know, I mean, it's not enough to put on a package of cigarettes, you know, smoking to kill you. It's like, well, you know, those in denial will say, well, I've got to die from something. You know, okay, that's fine. But now research has shown, but your disregard or lack of concern about your habit, you know, causes me, you know, consternation due to secondhand smoke. So
right.
It's just those kind of things, just to raise some consciousness, man. Okay,
yeah.
You know, Adam put it in the
Adam, hey, we got to mention that, man. You're talking about tobacco. No, it's more important is the caffeine, brother. We got to make a pot. I got to have my pot of coffee in the morning. Thank you, Adam.
Whether I drink it or not, all of
it's
it.
Just
the
one
habit
cup.
Is making it. Yeah, the
yeah.
habit though is making it. You know, and not thinking, well, I ain't gonna sit here. I only got a half hour to get out of the house, so I ain't gonna have enough time to drink 12 cups of coffee. I'll still make a whole pot anyway.
Oh my
great.
God!
And then,
I don't know how many times
pour it
I've
out cause, and then pour it out because you know I don't drink no you know day old coffee. Okay. Yeah.
Shoot.
Crazy habits. Man. So, you know, the list is endless. The list is as creative as one's imagination will allow them. You know, there's all, you know, and so maybe that's what the first hour Saturday will be on, just, you know, taking a look at the list, you know, and seeing what the imagination can come up with.
You know, I think this is a good idea. I'm glad you came up with it. I'm glad that you took the time to even kind of change it up a little bit, you know, because it can, you know, engulf and incorporate so many different things. You know, it's just so open. You know, here it is, April, you know, and around this time, I'm always, you know, on past shows around April and May, I'm talking about mm-hmm. spring cleaning, you know, personal spring cleaning. You mentioned taking stock and inventory or whatever it is, you know, you're taking inventory mm-hmm. of yourself and, you know, and it's so interesting how we don't realize our habits, you know, like we may have New Year resolutions or goals or whatever, but it's amazing how much our habits, you know, good, bad, or ugly, still affect or interfere with these goals and intentions we have. But it's so difficult to yeah. see it, you know, you know, mm-hmm. it's hard to see it because it's you, you know, the individual, you know. Mm-hmm. But being able to take the time to really think about it and to write it down or, you know, to hopefully listen to our shows on Saturdays in this regard, you know, will help, you know, whatever yeah. that help will yeah. be, you know. I say all that to say I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I see we got a caller in the queue, you know, wanting, you know, got their hands up. You want to bring them in?
Right on. Area code 469, area code 469-834. Trying to get the cursor over there. Okay, yeah. Thanks for calling in. Welcome to the Greenhouse Effect. How you doing tonight?
Hey, man, I don't think I was in the queue, but it looked like it was, you know, predestined for me to say something, you know?
I must have been. Maybe your cheek hit the one button by accident or something. The Lord's will. I don't know what it was, you know?
But I'm glad he worked it out for me, you know?
Yeah, what's up, Jay Pastor?
Hey man. Beautiful bro. I got a lot of habits, man. I don't know if I need to be participating. Might take up too much time in Saturday call.
No such thing, brother. No such thing as too much
no
time.
No such thing. Matter of fact, sounds like you're a good participant.
This Saturday, the 30th.
I have a son. My son is Jason II, and as I was taking him to baseball practice, I was letting him listen in, and I was like, "Hey, man, you know this is Uncle Bill, and his son is a junior." And I said, "His son called him his best friend." You know, I was trying to get my son on board with something like that. You know,
how old is your son?
He is 13.
Me and Will were best friends when he was 13. You can bet on that.
Hey, man.
We talking about 37 years later. Yeah, man. Yeah. So just keep that in mind. Keep that in mind, man. You know, we started working on it, but not with the intent of it turning out to be, you know, best friends one to the other, you know, because we still had to go, you know, a lot of parents are schooled on the idea that, you know, you're not about being your children's best friend, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like, so correct parenting as we're taught it means being their best friend with sabotage discipline or whatever, yada, yada. I'm sure you both have been through them paces, you know. So, but as grown men, you know, who've been through the paces together, you know, who, you know, knocked heads, you know, between us and hard words and issues of imperfection, you know, and constantly coming back to each other. You know, that's the work over time that has allowed us to consider each other to be best friends. You know, and I say it, understanding that my other two sons might, you know, take a little umbrage. They might have, you know, what do you mean? He's your best friend. What about, well, he's my best oldest son friend.
Yeah, he got to break down the differences, you know.
Yeah.
I was thinking too, man, bro, how I appreciate y'all show and how, you know, how anointing y'all are to do it, how effortlessly it is, you know what I'm saying? So it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing when we kind of stumble up upon our calling, stumble up upon,
amen,
you know, something that we enjoy and something that we're good at, And, you know, the fact that it is edifying and it, you know, helps the listeners, especially in this day and age when it's a lot of voices, you know what I'm saying, a lot of different things that can be said or heard, and, you know, and like a high percentage of them is garbage, you know. It's not going to edify, you know, or help in any form or fashion, man. So I really appreciate y'all. You know, I guess it wouldn't be a sacrifice probably to y'all, but I'm assuming that, you know, it does take some type of sacrifice, whether it's time, wisdom, knowledge, you know, studying, you know. So, man, I really appreciate it.
Man. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Will, does it take sacrifice on your part to get ready for these two shows?
Does it take sacrifice to get ready for these shows? No.
Yeah, on your part,
No, no, but that's developed through time, and even in the beginning, it was still had its challenges in the beginning, but it was because of the experiences of the past that helped, you know, to kind of develop what we have right now and what we can have in the future. I mean, because like you said, man, 13, you said, JP, he's 13.
Yes.
How old?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah, that, yeah, he was not my best friend, man. I think that was around the time when he first, you know, had to let me know, yeah, we cool, but I'm still your father, and you messed up in school, so I'm about to reprimand you that I'm gonna teach you about consequences and repercussions. You know what I mean? You know? And that was like the first time he had to go hard on me, man. And I'm like, you know, wait a minute. And then he gave me a week to think about it. And so it was like the worst week of my life. No, but that's another story for another time, man. But you know, a lot of building, a lot of, you know, never sacrifice. I don't, you know, I think it was just par for the course, man. Just the way it was supposed to be.
But just to clarify, you know, that what Will's referring to, Jay Pastor, is that he knew a whooping was coming, but I gave him a week to think about it.
Man,
that's what he meant when he said it was the worst week in his life. He knew it was coming.
I was being bamboozled before I even knew I was being bamboozled.
I was cutting up,
man. You couldn't tell me nothing, man. I was, you know. But that's how we do. That's what we do.
That's how I had to believe.
Yeah, man, but that was we didn't have to revisit that one, though, did we, man?
No, sir, we did not have to revisit that. I changed my ways, and you know, everything was cool.
Yeah, we grew a little bit more from that. But, you know, even that, it had its own issues that came with it, because it hadn't been that long that I had returned back to Will's life, you know, because my disputatious behaviors, you know, my drinking and carousing and carrying on, you know, divorce, you know, like I had just separated myself from the family totally. And, you know, like, what were you, about four when I left y'all, or when your ma left, but when I left y'all as far as consciousness was concerned, you know, I think you're about four, and I didn't really return back into your life until you what, like 9 or 10,
right.
You know, maybe
10,
even 11.
Yeah.
And it's not like I disappeared. There was still enough times in between to, you know, remind this mom why she left my ass to begin with. You know? But anyway, so suddenly, you know, this new dude shows up, tight, you know, clean, you know, responsible. And all of a sudden now he's laying down the law, you know. And I remember one time you said, hey, man, you know, like, but what about, you know, how you used to act when you drank? You know, we had to have words about that, you know. So it didn't come without its growing pains, right, Will?
Yeah. Adam said, sometimes your parents are your enemies before they become your friends. But the thing is, that, you know, I think the main thing that helped was dialogue. You know, I mean, I've worked in the schools and I've seen how parents and their children, you know, how their relationships, you know, develop, the functionals, the dysfunctionals. And I think the main difference between those is dialogue. You know, yeah, I'm going to reprimand you. I'm going to whoop you. I'm going to whatever it is that you're doing as a parent to, you know, have this lesson with your child. But you got to make sure that it's a lesson, that it's dialogue, you know, and not, and not, and not just, you know what I'm talking about, you know, type of stuff. And I think that was the difference. I think that was what helped, if you will, our relationship because of the dialogue, you know.
Yeah. Hey, man, why don't we bring Adam? Don't go nowhere, Jay Pastor. Why don't we bring Adam on in too, man? Bring him on into the discussion. You all right with that?
Well, why don't we then? Buenas noches. Buenas noches, primo. Adam,
now you can speak now.
Adam, I don't know.
Are you hiding, Adam?
Oh, wait, there we go. I'm sorry. My phone was muted. I apologize.
All right. Yeah, man.
We didn't catch you at the moment, did we? Should we come back to you? You okay?
No, not at all. I'm good.
You know that old joke, right? How do you keep an asshole in suspense? You can talk now.
That's my cousin right there. No, it's funny though, because like when I was growing up, my dad wasn't my best friend.
No, he wasn't.
Everybody, I had all my friends. You know, my dad was my dad.
Yeah.
And it took us a lot, and we went through a lot. And you know, he became you. I think as a child, you need to grow and realize and see your parent. And in a different sense, my dad is still my dad, but my dad is one of my best friends. Again, we worked together for, you know, 7 or 8 years. But prior to us working together, we weren't as tight as we are now. And I never thought that I would be able to be that tight with my dad.
Gotcha.
But like you guys are saying, it's through dialogue and being together and spending time that it just changes. And you just have to be, I guess, as a parent, you have to be patient.
And a child.
absolutely.
As a child, you don't know any better. Well, you don't know what the word patience means necessarily, but that's what's developing, you know. And it can go either way, right, y'all? I mean, it's no guarantee it's going to turn out favorable. Yeah, like, Jay Pastor, your dad's still alive, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was him, Kyle and Dean, being worse.
Being worse. That definitely says that's a good relationship, right? That he could just say, "Hey, just call me now." Being worse.
I don't think that could have been timed any more perfectly. Man. That was awesome.
And I'm sure you took the words right out of Will's mouth. You know, because there's times I'm sure I call him and he's like, "Damn."
Well, Father, I don't know what you're talking about, Father. I don't know where you get that kind of thought from.
Yeah. See, with
Father,
me,
you're his best friend.
Well, you know, sometimes best friends lie. See, I didn't really have a dad growing up. So, I mean, like he died when I was 11, but my mom moved away when, like, maybe I was 8 or 9, but I only had, like, 2 fleeting memories of him, you know, being around. I mean, like, he was around, but I didn't know him like my 2 older brothers knew him. So I didn't really have much of a grooming relationship with him at all. So fatherhood has been very elusive for me. It was all instinctual. And what's really helped me, you know, in regards to fatherhood is Will, is you, man. You know, us working on the things we've worked on, dialoguing about the things we've dialogued about, and building the kind of relationship of trust that we've built help me understand things about fatherhood that I never would have if not for my relationship with you. And I really am sorry that, I don't know if sorry is the word I want to use. You know, I wish, maybe that's a better word, that your brothers, you know, really knew how much you helped me with them. And I'm sure they have no clue. You know, that's, to me, the difference right there. And I think that's the added quality of why I even use the word when it comes to talking about you, my oldest son, as my best friend. You know, that's quality relating to me, you know, that it was able to feed into my overall demeanor and behavior with your two younger brothers. And I needed that work. You know, I needed that honest reprimand. You know, you know, there was more than once that you had to kind of tug me, you know, from the back of my hair. Like, Dad, you know, dude, you know. And but again, because I didn't really have a roadmap, you know, I've never had a dialogue with my father, you know, and there's nothing I can do about it, you know. And so I can only, from a one-sided perspective, hope that the dialogues I have with my sons is sufficient. You know, but thank you for that, man. Amen.
Right on.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Right on.
Well, so much for talking about the history of white people. I guess we'll just tuck that away for a future show. It's not like, you know, we got sponsors who are, you know, getting ready to sue us for, you know, lack of substance, you know, so it's all right. They ain't going nowhere. White people will still be here Wednesday. Yeah, so Jay Pastor, if I could put you on the spot, man, could you? No, go ahead, Adam. Sorry, man.
No, I'm sorry. No, go, Jay Pastor. I apologize.
No, I was just gonna ask if you would be cool with just sharing a little bit about your relationship with your pops, man.
Man, I'm very grateful to, you know, have a father in a culture where, you know, a lot of my, you know, peers didn't have a father in my neighborhood. You know, really my Amen. Father was everybody's father, but you know, to the bad side of that was, you know, he wasn't, you know, Cliff Huxtable. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You know, my father, you know, was a, you know, he was, you know, street affiliated, real tough, but he had a lot of good character and morals about himself, you know. So, I mean, his parental skills were not the best, but it's kind of like, you know, having a Bentley versus having a Honda Accord. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, my daddy wasn't a Bentley. He wasn't, you know, parent of the year. You know, he wasn't, you know, at the track meets, you know, his discipline, you know, methods, you know, wasn't the best. You know, he's kind of absentee, even though he was a dependable Honda Accord. Like, you can crank him up
like
on
that.
A daily basis, and he gonna get the job done. You know what I'm saying?
Like, get it done.
You know, to the best of his ability, he was a stand-up guy. You call him, and he gonna make it happen with limited resources. You know what I'm saying? But so I'm very, you know, grateful. Like, he never hugged me, never kissed me, never told me love me, none of that stuff. You know what I'm saying? But it was, you know, overstood though. You know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't have to tell. You know what I'm saying? His actions spoke values, man. I mean, was clear, man. So I still haven't figured out how to, you know, honor him to the best of my ability. You know what I'm saying? I'm a daddy's boy though, you know, and I think our love language is finances. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I don't say, hey man, I love you. I might, you know, huff and puff, be slick out the mouth with you, but you know, I'm a go in my pocket for you, pay your property taxes, you know, whatever you need, man, I'm gonna make that happen, because that's what he did for me growing up, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
man, I'm very grateful to have, you know, experienced. I didn't have a mother, you know what I'm saying? I'm very grateful to have experienced my father now, you know what I'm saying, on paper, and then, you know, the eyes of the community, and maybe, you know, my resume and all aspects of that, everybody said, oh, man, you know, your daddy was trash. Problem is, hey, that was my daddy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, so that was my Honda.
Yeah.
With a missing hubcap.
Yeah.
You know, with a couple check engine lights on or whatever, but that boy, crank that boy up and he gonna get you where you need to be, man. You know, so.
Yeah.
Am I a bad parent because of it? I would like to think so. And, you know, but how long can we, you know, lean on that excuse? You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right. Amen. Amen.
You know, so, but I am a parent because of it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I had a daddy. Y'all gonna have a daddy, and I love what you said about, you know, Will helping you, because my children, they making me be a parent too. You know what I'm saying? Like,
amen.
They
yeah, man.
Me to be
yeah.
a father, man, and I appreciate
yeah.
it. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It, for as long as you show up, that's right. That's what they do. You know, that's what they do. For as long as we show up, they're gonna push the outside of the envelope, right? Yeah, man. Because, you know, that's what they do. You know, that's
yeah.
what we did. You
yeah.
know, it's not like we were born parents, and they were, you know, well, they were born children, but, you know, they get older, you know, and it's something what I found that, you know, the older I get, it's completely flip-flop, you know, and, you know, I've gotten to be kind of old, you know, and I noticed that, you know, that my son doesn't seek my approval like he did when he was younger, but I seek his approval now more than I ever did, you know, when I was younger. It's just something how, you know, that over time just gradually changes. You know, I find myself, you know, not so much seeking his approval, but welcoming it when it happens and hoping, you know, that we've come far enough in our lives together where he doesn't need you, Will, don't need my approval like you sought it when you were a shorty, like a teenager, you know, or younger even, you know. So, you know, I don't know if that's consistent with all parents. I don't know. I don't know where the balance of guilt and shame and accomplishment and responsibility and accountability all kind of intermingle and work together. But I think the recipe of it does have a common link, and the determining factor, you know, is really, you know, through the eyes of, you know, the child, you know, as a determination of, you know, how well we've done along the way as parents. You know, I remember that I learned something, rather. I don't remember as much as I remember learning it, that parents don't ever really get a chance to know if the work we're doing is valuable or positive. You know, the only way in the house, the only way we get to really find out is based on what other people say. You know, like, man, your son is really well behaved, or wow, your daughter really does, you know, carry herself like a lady. You know, we don't know nothing about that. All we know is that that's the battle line, you know. boy, you better learn how to stand up. Well, girl, you better keep that skirt down. You know, we don't know nothing about all that stuff, but it sure does feel good when it comes from our peers, right? I mean, am I right about that?
Or, yeah.
Help me out, y'all. Yeah. Adam, were you going to throw something in there, man, before I, you know, got lost in my rambling?
No, not at all. I was just going to say one of the most important things, and maybe not one of the most important things, but one thing is that you have to realize that you and your best friend can disagree and argue and get in a fight.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, yo, you're still my guy.
Yeah.
And not let that take over.
Yeah. Yeah, it's too bad that can't be a working component to marriage. You know, imagine that, man. Imagine that, you know, it'd be a best friend deal, you know, that no matter what, you know, we're still going to be, you know, married, which is ironic because even if we divorce, we still are living under the contract, you know, under the vow. You know, vows don't end because, you know, the piece of paper said divorce. You know, that vow, we're still held by that vow, whether we like it or not, whether we know it or not. It's just a different relationship, but it's still a relationship born from marriage, you know, it especially if you have children. Now, I don't know about marriage. It's not, you know, created from love. I can't speak on them. You know, marriages of convenience, of course, always allow for a retreat anytime it's convenient. But marriages born from love don't end because of divorce. It just takes on a different direction, a different meaning. At least that's how I see it. But, you know, hey, what do I know, right?
Well, even with my second ex-wife, it was one.
Damn, how many ex-wives you got, man?
Two.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I got two. To this day, I love her. But there were times when we were married. I didn't like her, but I still loved her. And that, you know, it's figuring that out. And that's I would say that's the forever ending battle is trying to figure it out.
Right.
Whoever can figure it out, they win.
Yeah. Yeah, and then there's the conversation like, you know, I have, you know, older sons or older children, you know, so, you know, it's like I'm not in the mix like y'all are, you know, your offspring is still relatively young, right?
He's 24.
Hey.
Yeah, that's younger than my oldest. I mean, that's older than my young. How am I trying to say? That's younger than my youngest. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say, yeah.
I don't know what y'all got going on this show tonight, man. But everything is like simultaneously, like my life is coinciding with the show. First, I'm talking about parents. My daddy called. I'm talking about, you know, my parental skills. My daughter just texted me. She say, "What you doing? I miss you." You know, my oldest daughter.
Amen. How old is your oldest daughter, man?
She 19.
19, yeah. So your oldest is your son. How many children you got, Adam?
I just have one.
Okay, and he's 24. And Will, how old is Jax? Man, I can never keep up. Is he 13?
No, man, he'll be 16 in June.
Damn.
Will, you have one, man.
Man, yeah, that's the oldest grandchild. Yeah, that's the oldest. Yeah, wow, man. Yeah, and that's another show for another time, being a grandparent.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Yeah, man. Yeah. You know, that's a trip in itself. Yeah, wow, man. So here it is, man. It's almost time to wrap it up. And this is, you know, white folks, I'm going to talk about you Wednesday.
can I say one more thing?
Absolutely. No, go ahead, man.
No.
Go ahead, man.
See, you don't have to like your cousins either, though. They could be your friends, but you don't have to like them.
Especially your cousins.
He said especially your cousins. Is that what you said, Will?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Adam. Go ahead, man.
Oh no! Talk about me now. You're about to. You're ready. You're on your roll. So go on, talk about me now.
No, I wasn't going to talk about you, man. I was not directly related to you, but even cousins can be a confusion. I don't know about y'all, but I look at my cousins, and I know they're cousins to my children, but the age differences would suggest they should be uncles and aunts, not cousins. So I think that's an unexplored territory that's changed over the course of time as well. With black folks, our generations are collapsing upon themselves. Where when I was first coming up, the lines of generations were clearly drawn based on behaviors. There were certain behaviors that, happened as children. There was certain behaviors that happened as young adults. There were certain expected behaviors that happened as adults married, and there were certain behaviors that were expected from families. Grandparents had a role, parents had a role, children had a role. But it's kind of collapsed on itself now. I don't know how well y'all are handling that, but I would imagine it has its own challenges that, people don't really give much credence to, or at least not open forms of dialogue. It seems to be more of that negative kind of connotations that I know you've had to deal with a lot, Will, when you're working in the public school system, where parents are showing up, obviously lacking them skills. But the thing is, they're showing up like, maybe only 10 or 12 years older than their children. Maybe 10 is a little stretching it. But, not
right,
stretching
we get the
it
point.
That much. So I think into the
parents, the grandparents raising their kids.
Yeah.
Because the parents are too young.
Yeah.
And they want to go out and, I didn't get to live my best life. Well, that's because you got a kid. So buck up and raise your kid.
Yeah. Yeah. And that stretches boundaries as well, because trust me, grandparents don't have the same loyal allegiance to grandchildren that they did with their own children. Grandparents are, we're a hypocritical population. we cut our grandkids like we never cut our kids, and I think a lot of that even has to do with some form of displaced apology, like what I regret I didn't do with my son, I'll make up for with my grandson, kind of thing.
But I was going to say one of the things that my dad said to me at one point was his goal was to be a better man and a better father than his father was. And to a point, I feel, not that I failed, but my thought is I wish I could be half the man that my dad is.
I hear you.
It's tough.
Maybe we'll have a father-son show one day, Will,
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's definitely
coming. That would be a trip.
Listening to this tonight, I'm just thinking, June is right around the corner, So,
man,
When
is June 10th? When is his birthday?
Oh, Jackson's June 13th.
June 13th. Okay.
Okay.
So I know it's a whole cluster of June. And I can never separate your son from my brother, from my nephew, from, it must be about six people born, between June 10th and June 20th,
Those darn Geminis.
Yeah, man. I tell you, it only takes one Gemini to surround you. All right, y'all. Jay Pastor, man. Thanks for dialing in and checking in, man. Always great to hear your voice, man. You bring a very special energy to the show. What I really love about it when you call in is that it don't matter what we're talking about. We ain't going to be talking about it no more. Yeah, we gonna shift to where we need to go. Amen. I love that. And thank you, Will, for being so flexible with that, you executive producer.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Adam, you know you're my dude, man. You know. I knew you when you were born. Yeah. And you've known me all your life.
I have. For better or for worse.
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna step out the way and let Will land this airplane, man. Thank
you. Fuck you guys.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Thank you guys. JP, I don't know what it is, man. You know, sometimes Dad and I laugh when we talk about some topics and then it pops up in the media or something like that, like a couple of days later. So, you know, we always hope that the energy, you know, that we have on these shows can, of course, like a grand effect, you know, help us and help, you know, one another and whatnot, et cetera. So I'm just saying that it's really good to hear that this energy paid off, even if it was just for tonight. You know, it was good to hear of that energy that was going on in your home, man. So thank you again for sharing that with us.
Amen. That's right, man. Yeah, that brings some life right up close, man. Yeah, your
right
pops, your daughter. Right on, man. Yeah.
Right now.
Yes, sir.
But that's the Greenhouse Effect, ladies and gentlemen. That's where we get down every Monday and Wednesday night, live 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, live on blogtalkradio.com/thegreenhouseeffect. That's the letter FX. Our shows are archived and saved on your favorite listening platform, so you can always go back and listen to some shows. Hopefully you come back and listen to this one as well. Whether you're listening to our live shows or whether you're listening to our recorded shows, you could be any place else. You could be doing anything else. But you decided to share an hour of your time with us. So for that, we really appreciate that and thank you for that. Here on the Greenhouse Effects Radio Show, we provide an opportunity to exercise critical thinking, to experience a renewed self-awareness, and maybe even a deeper connection to others and their experiences. Especially when we share interpretations and feelings. So again, my name is Will Green. That's Bill over there, my best friend, my dad. As always, we hope that you all be blessed, be safe, and most importantly, be yourself. Because, hey, everybody else is taken. Until Wednesday, maybe we'll talk about the history of white people. Love you, Dad.
Until then, Will.
Everybody have a good night. Amen.
Yeah, love y'all, man. Love you, JP. Love you, Adam.
Yes, sir. Love y'all, too, man. Good night.
Good night.